Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for listening. Thank you for downloading. Thank you for subscribing to the latest edition of the 12 Kyle podcast. I am your boy, 12 Kyle. Man, check this out. On this episode, what we're going to do is we're going to talk about secrets to a successful marriage. Now, if you've been following the podcast, you know that I, at the time of this recording, have been married 23 years. And I wanted to come on here and have a conversation, but I had to have a conversation with somebody, obviously, who's been who is currently married. Today's guest host is really no guest. You've seen him on here before. He's been here before. My brother from the West Coast. My man, two podcasts he has, BTG for President, as well as Open Run with BTG. My man, Baylor, the great Baylor. What's good, man?
Hey, man, check this out.
What's cracking? Glad to have you on here, brother. Glad to have you on here. Oh, yeah, for sure. You know, like, before we get into it, man, let me ask you, because I think I know, but I'm not sure. How long have you guys been married?
Ah, shoot, man. You had to ask me that question. We got married in what, 2011?
Okay.
What was that, about 13?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We got some weight under our belt.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. That's what it's all about. That's what it's all about. Same for us. Like, we got married in 2000. So this will be year. This we're in the Jordan year, but we're coming up on the Kobe year in September. Yeah. We'll be hitting the Kobe year. So, it's always a good thing, man. Marriage is something that you and I both believe in. And we talk about, a lot. Your question, I'm gonna ask this off script. It has nothing to do with, what we're about to talk about, but have you been to the jacuzzi lately?
Yeah. Last time we went to the jacuzzi was probably about a month ago, maybe.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
We're gonna go this weekend though.
Good. 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 If you guys been listening and following the podcast, he speaks quite often about how he and his wife Marcy go to the jacuzzi, and that's their time. That's their time to bond. That's their time to talk. That's their time to vent. That's their time to enjoy each other and without their kids. So I meant to text you that and ask you that, but the perfect time to ask here on the podcast. As we talk about successful marriages, one thing I want to point out is that while both Bale and I have, you know, been married for some time, marriage is work. Don't get it twisted. It is constant work. And we're going to talk about that. But I've got a couple of things that I have here that, because I came across this article and it was talking about the keys to secrets to a successful marriage. You know, most marriages, well, I don't want to say most, a lot of marriages end in divorce. Yeah. I think it's like some like 60% of marriages now are ending in divorce. So this article that I came across was actually written by a divorce attorney. And they made a couple of things. And the first point I want to talk about is it says, learn how to talk and hear one another.
Right.
And it says the number one cause of divorce is lack or poor communication. What do you think about that? Being able to talk and hear each other.
Yeah. Especially when it comes to tones, when it comes to when you realize you don't want to argue anymore. You start to figure, you know, you figure out ways to start to deal with each other, start to listen to each other a certain way, talk to each other a certain way. So, yeah, communication, that's probably the number one thing right there. That's part of growth. You grow with each other like that. Mm-hmm. You got to talk it out. Sometimes, and it's not just, it's communicating with yourself too, holding yourself accountable, understanding that maybe, you know, whatever past trauma you come with, however you was raised, you know what I'm saying? A lot of us weren't raised like 100%, you know what I mean? Correct. You know, it was some things that was off, you know what I'm saying? We got a few loose screws up top. So you got to just, you know, do like a self-awareness check and make sure you ain't tripping. You know what I'm saying? And then go listen to the other person, vice versa. And then y'all just figure it out. Have less arguments. The one thing that I hear from a lot of older folks, and obviously the ones that's on the internet that go viral, they say, man, we haven't argued in so many years because we realize arguing leads to nothing. You know what I mean? We just, you know, we chose not to argue anymore. I think that's dope. Mm-hmm.
Now, do you think those people are choosing not to argue to avoid arguments, or do you think they truly believe like the method of not, you know, of avoiding arguments has helped them as far as their communication goes?
I think they figure it out. You don't stay married that long and it's, you know, and it's like you ducking the fade or walking on eggshells. No, you're married that long because you figured it out. You figured the other person out. Y'all figured y'all marriage out. And then once you get to that point, like what you teach your son and what you'll teach your daughter is that eventually whoever you choose as a partner is going to, if you're blessed and if you do the right thing, you won't have any best friends anymore. You will have one best friend.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? Mm. Like everybody, your homies that you grew up with, you played football and basketball with, gang bang with, whatever the case may be, they drop down a tier. And some of them is going to drop down even more if they marry, because they get it. You know what I'm saying? So when your wife become your best friend, that's like a cheat code, bro.
Facts.
It's crazy.
So question. So like I always say, like the concept of marriage is very, it's a process for us to process. And the reason why I say that is because like you have an entity where as a young man at a certain age, we're told, hey, get as many girls as you can, be with as many girls you can, be in as many relationships as you can. And then you're told, okay, well, hey, you need to settle down with this one person, and this is going to be the person that you're going to be with for the rest of your life, or at least you would like to be. And the concept of that, you've got two different people coming from two different places, more often than not, growing up in two different households where they have different concepts of marriage. How do you merge those ideas together?
Well, I think it's a give and a take type of thing. You're going to figure out what's going to work and what's not going to work. You know, they say often the husband tends to attend a lot of the wives' side of the family functions a little bit more versus going to his, you know what I'm saying? I think it's just how you structure your marriage out. You know what I mean? I think the first, I don't know, first 3 to 5 years is battle tested.
Facts.
You know what I mean? So now you're about to figure out if she the type to leave the toothpaste top off the toothpaste. You know what I'm saying? You're going to figure out like what pisses you off and vice versa. She's going to be like, you know, like, bro, like, can you pick your clothes up and put it in the dirty clothes hamper? You know what I'm saying? You're going to be battle tested, but as long as you figure it out, you don't even have to lose your family values that you brought, you know, to the marriage. You just got to know when to use those traits, you know? And then you got to be wise enough to understand that you also are in a new era.
Yeah.
So, you know, a lot of stuff that we learned back then might not, you know, mess with what we got going on now. You know what I mean? So you got to go to the New Testament sometime. The Old Testament, we ain't doing stuff like that anymore.
No? Facts. Big facts. I mean, like, I think you make some great points, man. It's a constant learning experience, even, you know, in the point that they made. They made a point to talk about how to talk, which is communication, but also hear. And see, I think sometimes I know just personally, I think over a period of time, I did more listening than I did talking. And even now, you know, I still talk a lot, but I try to make sure I'm listening and not just, you know, even in the midst of, I don't even want to say an argument, but in the midst of a conversation, not be plotting my response. Let's just say we have an argument, you know, but I'm listening, but I'm also, I think I've gotten to the point now where, instead of plotting my response, I'm actually listening to what you got to say. And then when you finish talking, cause I'm gonna let you talk, cause I want to talk too. But when you finish talking, I want to be able to communicate. And then, you know, also address, like you said, be self-aware and be self-aware of what it is that she's asking for and what she wants, and not necessarily just tune it out. So I think that's very important as well. I want to go back to something you meant. Go ahead. You got something?
I was going to say, but not only that, let's go a little bit further than that. Let's go, let's get to the point where y'all get off the phone upset. You at work, she at work. You know what I'm saying? You might send her, or she might send you a text message. When you see a paragraph, just put your phone down, bro. Don't even. Yeah, you know what I mean? So, but here's the important thing that I do now. You know, if we do get to that point, I'm just saying if I feel like the energy is off, are we beefing? You know what I'm saying? What's going on? You know what I'm saying? Like, whatever I did, I apologize. You know, there has been numerous times where I've apologized, not even saying that I was wrong or right. Just I just apologize. And then, you know, sometimes, because we know how women are, you know, but I can give Marcy some credit, and she's like, you know what, man, I was tripping too. You know what I mean? Then it's like, then that's when you start sending gifts and memes back and forth to each other, right. And boom, everything is good, you know?
Right. I think one of the things that's interesting about us is that not only have we been together for so long, but we literally kind of grew up as kids, you know, from young adults, and we didn't grow up in the same place or in the same city or anything like that. But because we met in college, you know, you're in your college years. So we got a chance to see each other as young adults and then kind of grow into, you know, friends and lovers and then husband and wives. And it was still a constant learning of each other. But also, you know, coming from two different worlds, like she's from out there where you are, you know, she's from LA and I grew up in South Carolina, and how we were raised. Right.
She's from Compton.
Excuse me. Compton. Shout out to Uncle Dolomite from the Too Much Game podcast, Compton Zone. So she's from Compton and I'm from South Carolina. So it's like two different worlds. I mean, literally and figuratively as to how we grew up. And so it was really about us, you know, and then you have the household dynamic as far as like how, you know, you want to have your house to look and how you have things, certain things set up, you know, maybe I want to put the mustard in the refrigerator. You know, maybe she wants to put the mustard in the pantry, you know, so it's little things like that that you have to learn over a period of time. Like, okay, you know, and as a guy, you know, I'm thinking like, hey, bruh, why are you tripping about a fitted sheet? I put it in the closet. I can't fold it.
You know what though? You know what I mean? There's things that me and my wife do, and we accept that it's a battle. We accept that we're just not going to agree on certain things. So it'd be something small as I put the soap dispenser on this side, but then she likes it on this side.
Right.
We'll barely bring it up. But we're gonna keep switching it. You know what I'm saying? I'll do it in front of her face.
As you should.
You know what I mean?
I mentioned earlier about work. One of the other points that they made was making a commitment to do the work. Most people think that a marriage is a commitment to the other person, and that's true, but it's not the only commitment. You need to commit to marriage itself. And to work, and you have to work to keep it healthy and strong. What do you say to that?
It's your idea of marriage. Mm-hmm. So my idea of marriage, there's a portion of being conservative. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? But with my own little twist, I think one thing that a lot of people have to talk about more is that you design your own marriage. There's not a poster or a stack of papers that says, hey, this is how your marriage should go. You know what I mean? You should do it like this. No, as long as you keep your word, like, yo, this, we in this until mm-hmm. death do us part. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And that's it. However y'all roll, that's how y'all roll. And I think that's what is missed and not talked about a lot. And even if it is, there's certain things. This is a full-time job, bro, with overtime. And you're not getting paid for that overtime. You know what I mean? So when we talking about keeping people out of your marriage, what if your background shows that you don't have anybody as an example? Mm. Oh, who do you go to for guidance? How would you know how to maintain something if you are at the highest level in your family? Mm. You know what I mean? So now you got to go out there and do extra work. Sorry, you got to have extra assignments. A lot of other married couples don't have to have this type of issue or this type of role because their parents was married and right. their parents were married. But you broke the generational curse. You know what I'm saying? You doing well. Do you consider the rich uncle? You know what I'm saying? And so, but how do you maintain that rich uncle? How did you maintain that? I could tell you right now, at least I would say 60% of my knowledge mm-hmm. came from the Cosby Show, mm. came from the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. It came from those type of, it came from Family Matters, mm-hmm. etc. I had those examples. I seen Dr. Huxtable, you know what I'm saying? I seen Uncle Phil, you know, and I seen all these positive, even we can go to Good Time. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? They had these positive male role models. The new Fresh Prince fell in love with the reboot. I love it. Out of all reboots, I love that one.
Okay.
But because I pay attention, it's a new age. You look at that Uncle Phil, it's like, I aspire to be an uncle like him.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And that's where I get a lot of my, you know, a lot of my background from. I don't really have, outside of my grandparents, I don't really got that. So now I got to go out there and find the ingredients that I need to make my marriage work. And that's keeping people out of my business. That's fighting for my marriage. If it's getting to a point where, man, at some point we just can't stand each other. You talking about a person that you see, for the most of us, we see every day.
Every day.
We are roommates, and sometimes I don't even like you, bro.
I don't like your ways.
Yeah, you are the person that I've had kids with. You know what I'm saying? You're the only person that, you know, I'm rolling around with in the bedroom. You are everywhere. I know how bad your breath smells. I know how you look at your worst. You know, I know everything. You know what I'm saying? And sometimes you can get on my nerves. And then there's times where I'd be like, dog, I cannot continue this life without you.
Nah,
I can't.
Nah. You get that look and you're like, man, I don't ever want to spend any moments on this earth without you. And then you kind of look at them like, you know that you had a life before they came into your life. Yeah. But they're so, they become so much, they've been so impactful in your life. Like you can't imagine being without them. A couple of things you hit on there, man, I think is worth repeating. So you basically said like you didn't see a blueprint in your house as far as marriage was when you were coming up.
Right. No, there wasn't no examples. All my examples came from television.
Okay.
Most of it. You know what I mean? Now there was older folks here and there that I knew, but you know, there wasn't couples that I grew up with. It definitely wasn't my parents or anything like that. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So it was more so, you know, a pastor. Or, you know, somebody, a friend, it could be a friend's family, you know what I mean? You know what I'm saying? Their parents, seeing their parents, how they operate, you know?
That's interesting, because I mean, like, my parents were together, and then they got divorced when I was 13. And so like I had somewhat of a semblance of it, but it, like you said, you know, what you saw in your house, you wanted to emulate to a certain degree. But then also now having kids, it's like, especially because our kids are so much older, you know, now I'm wondering like, and I don't even know if I'm crazy for wondering this, but like, you know, the example that we've set, have we set the bar too high? No, I want you to get married first. I want you to get married, be together. Then I want you to have kids, you know, and then so forth and so on. But like, I try to tell them, like, especially the older two that are in college, like, you might meet your wife at college. You might not, you know, I got lucky that I did, you know what I'm saying? That doesn't necessarily mean that you might meet your wife at a bar. I don't, who knows, you know, but, I think that's something that we talk about. And like you said, just really, as far as the commitment, you know, you're a big Raider fan. The Raider slogan is commitment to excellence. And I mean, like, that's what it is. It's a daily commitment. You got to, the thing that I tell people, I don't really give people a lot of advice as far as marital advice, but the thing I do say is you have to be committed to the commitment. You got to be committed to the commitment.
I hear you.
Okay. Yeah. So, you know, as long as you're committed to the commitment, then you're okay. But I mean, like, people, you know, it's so much stuff. Like you said, it's something that's constant. It's something that's daily. It's something that, like, even now, if you're at work, you're working on your marriage. If you're at sleep, you're working on your marriage. Like, it's constant. And I think, like, sometimes, just based on what I see on social media, sometimes I think people get to the point where, like, it's okay. Yeah, you celebrate the wedding. I get it. But a wedding is only going to last 20, 25 minutes. You know, have you prepared yourself for marriage? Because a lot of people prepare for the wedding, but they never prepare for the marriage, which is backwards.
The main thing they would be worried about is paying for that expensive wedding. It's the highlight.
It is. It is.
It's a highlight. But then, look right after that, it's off season now.
Mm-hmm.
Know what I'm saying? It's those 7-on-7s.
It's that work.
Two-a-day practices and stuff like that. They ain't
it's
ready that,
for that work. You got to put it in. You got to put it in. Another thing they talked about in the article, and it's something that I think is very key, something that I admire about you and Marcy, even though I've never met Marcy. And it talks about having true compassion for your partner. You know, when your spouse is talking, do you actively tune in? Do you take the pleasure in your spouse's success, help them when they fail? Do you, you know, really hone in on your spouse? So talk about just the compassion that, you know, not just you have for Marcy, but Marcy has for you.
Well, I mean, it grew. It took a while for it to get to where it is now. But ultimately that came with, I think that came from a lot of, I would say like a few storms.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying, that you got to go through, whether it's, you know, something that's between us, you got to remember you're still dealing with two sides of the families.
Yeah.
Things like that. So I think at the end of the day, I think a lot of that compassion came from like the struggle and the growth and the history and stuff like that. And you can, you know, Facebook do a good job at doing this. And iPhones, they'll have these random memories,
old
photos and stuff like that. And
yeah.
It just catch you off guard with a random 2007. You know what I'm saying? Or some photo or something like that. And it's like, wow, remember we were at this stage. And you start thinking about all the steps you took to get to the next level and next level and next level. And then we're here.
Mm-hmm.
Going from a, you know, a one bedroom shack to buying your second house.
Duh.
That's crazy. You right. know, and then you just look how long that timeline is. And then, but what you don't know is through all the ups and downs and stuff like that, that's where you build in the compassion for each other.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, man, you hit the nail on the head. I think, you know, especially like I said, for us having, you know, met in college and the struggle. I mean, that's the key thing. Like I tell people all the time, like, you know, and I tell our kids this all the time, like what you see now between me and your mom is, you know, I don't want to say we're the finished product, but we are more polished and more finished than we've ever been, as opposed to, you know, who we were, you know, in college. And then after we got out of college and even when we got married, you know, and I'm like, man, y'all just don't understand. Like we didn't have this house. You know, we had a little one bedroom apartment off campus. You know, we had, you know, a table, a desk, a bed, and that was it, you know what I'm saying? So, and I remember, man, we would have conversations like, man, it really would be cool to go in the grocery store and be able to spend money on whatever we wanted to, instead of having, you know, a list and you spending $60 and that's it. Like you ain't spending no more, no less, you know? So
that budget was much smaller back then. You know what I'm saying?
Brother,
a lot of top ramen back in the day.
Man, peanut butter and jelly was the thing.
Yeah, peanut butter and jelly hold you down.
Hold you down. I mean, some nights it'd be peanut butter and jelly for dinner.
Marcy would tell you the way, you know how you get into a relationship, they tell you get that relationship weight.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Our relationship, and she could verify, and I blame myself. I'll take total blame for it. But when we first got together, I wasn't making nothing but pancakes and brownies for her. Man, when I tell you we was dogging, she'll tell you we was dogging them pancakes.
Pancakes and brownies, bro.
Man, let me tell you, because I get freaky with the brownies. I'm making chocolate chip cookie brownies.
Oh,
you know what I'm saying? We doing all kind of stuff. Look, one thing she's going to tell you, you ain't got to worry. We got a house full of cookies.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So somebody gonna cook something.
Somebody can cook something right.
And cause we eat. Mm-hmm. And she got a I wouldn't necessarily call it an expensive mouth, but she you know, she on a random, you know, some people still don't believe this, but she eat crab legs like it's potato chips.
Hey man, crabs are the best.
Yeah. She'll get her some crab legs in a minute and just whole thing, just break it down, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I got a seafood monster on my hands.
Oh yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, we, you know, being here and being from the South, both of us love seafood, so that's a given. Yeah. But yeah, you're right. I mean, like and it's funny, man, because when you sit back and think about like some of the things that you did and some of the thoughts to be, I mean, like for us having four kids, I remember we would, especially when we were younger, definitely in college, we'd get in my little Nissan Sentra, we'd be riding and have some of the best conversations ever. I mean, like conversations that would, you know, last hours.
Mm-hmm.
And then we'd come back to the apartment and talk even more. And sometimes we would just be laying in the bed, just talking about like what our future would look like. I'll be honest. We talked about kids. I knew we'd have a son, which we did with our oldest, Dion. And then we had three more sons, and then we had our daughter last. And so like, you know, but we never had those conversations as far as like how many kids we'd have. But like you, even in the quote unquote planning stage, it's some things you just don't plan. Yeah. But it like the way that everything kind of folded out for us just really became beautiful in a sense. The next thing they talked about in the article was, being aligned in values, meaning like you have the same type of values. Has there been a time with you and Marcy where your values have kind of clashed maybe on some things, maybe something that you wanted or some things that you thought would be a certain way or should be a certain way? And maybe you 10 toes down on it and you're not backing down off of it. And then maybe she's dug in as well. And you guys have to kind of, I don't want to say compromise, but, you know, kind of realign your values.
Not really. Because the common goal is, we always joke around. I say, I want to be a stay-at-home father. she want to be a stay-at-home mom. You know what I mean? So, no, the common goal has always been to just get to a point where we enjoy life. You know what I'm saying? Where we could travel more and things like that. I think I'm to me, I'm at the stage in my life where it's about the memories that I could build from here on out. You know what I mean? So we got the same common goals. Like we have a competitive marriage, you know, all the way down to like finances. Like I remember the first time she cracked $100K at work, right? Mm-hmm. And I'm happy, but I'm like,
right.
Nigga, what? I'm like, what? You doing it like my turn now. You mm-hmm. know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And we would go back and forth. There's years of us going back and forth, seeing who made more than the other person that year. And mm-hmm. I'm not, and here's another thing, fellas, put your ego to the side.
Oh, you got to. You got
put to. Your ego got to go, bro. Because let me tell you, if I had an ego, maybe we'd probably be in a different financial position, but I don't think my marriage would be as rich as it is. Because I would take it personal that she's making more money than me, but I don't. I told her, I was like, if you start making an extra 50,000, I'm stay at home dad. I don't care. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to be a full time streamer. You know what right. I'm saying? You mess around with me, but now
we find it every day.
Every Monday to every day of the week, I'm potting. But no, we just got the same common goals. We just mm-hmm. we like kicking it with each other.
Yeah, same.
You know what I mean? Yeah, so that's all it is.
We've that's not really something that we've had an issue with, because I think for the most part, we've always communicated on things as far as like, you know, like I knew where she stood as far as like kids, religion, marriage goals, those type of things. And those values, you know, if something came up, I mean, like we're good enough friends, great enough friends to always talk about it. But it goes back to our level of commitment to each other. It's really, even when the values change, you know, it's like, okay, we're still in it together. Okay. Well, we can pivot. Well, let's pivot together, you know? And I'm like you, bro. There's been times where she's made more than me. There's been times where I made more than her. Like you said, check your ego at the door. Cause my thing is like this, and this has always been like our running joke. It all go into the same account. So
it's both our money. I don't care who. Yo, if my wife beat me this year, you can have that championship. I'm coming to get you this year.
Exactly.
I don't do nothing but help us get to the next level together.
Man, that's
what it is. If I had an ego, then I will probably go and mess with a girl that I know that can't surpass mm-hmm. with finance. You know what I mean? If I wanted to be the type of guy, I'm not a controlling guy. I don't, you know, they was talking about there's no such thing as, you know, a 50-50 marriage. I disagree. Mm-hmm. As a matter of fact, I put it to you like this. Our numbers go up and down. Remember I told you?
It does.
Remember I told you, I remember you was telling me, when your wife was going to go back to school, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? And then I was like, it's going to be some days you're going to have to drop 40 and 50 where you got to pick up and drop off the kids by yourself, where you got to make dinner before she get home. You know what I mean? Where, oh my God, I forgot such and such has a doctor's appointment. I can't go. Can you go? And now you got to go drop 35, 15 and 9.
Got to. And you can't question it either.
No, and it's a Tuesday. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. You got Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday full of work. And you know, now it's gotten past 7 or 8 days. No physical touch. Oh, we ain't gonna talk about that. You know what I'm saying? when one person has been carrying the team that whole week, I'm just breaking it down by the week. You know what I'm saying? That's basically how I break down my marriage week by week. What I mean? And, you know, sometimes one person is going to be carrying the load, going to be Carmelo Anthony up in Syracuse.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And then that you got to check your ego at the door, and you got to understand the situation, because a person that don't will feel like they're not being appreciated.
Facts.
Or they're pulling most of the weight and stuff like that. And it's like, no, sometimes you gotta recognize that your partner, they twisted their ankle. Mm-hmm. They can't get back on defense that fast. They can't, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's gonna be like that. It's gonna you're gonna be in the finals, and the second option is gonna go down. We're gonna clutch our Anthony Davis just went down. That's what's gonna happen.
Mm-hmm. Gotta step up.
Now, Bron, you got to come out here and shoulder the load until AD can come back.
Got to, and you can't mope and groan about it either.
Yeah, because then you're gonna look back a year from now, a couple of years from now, you're like, damn. She really held it down. You're not going to forget a week like that. You're not going to forget a month. Like, you're going to be like, damn, she really went James Harden 50-piece games this whole month. Like,
right,
really?
Right, right. And I mean, like, that goes from everything. Like you said, from the household duties to kids to even in the bedroom. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, all of that stuff plays a part. So it's really about, like you said, just trying to carry that. And then not carrying an attitude with it. You know what I'm saying? Because, yeah, you got to go get a triple-double, but you might be frustrated. You might be like, man, I'm just tired. Mm-hmm. And I mean, but the thing is, tired is a concept. It's a construct that I think sometimes married couples fall into. And it's easy to fall into, but at the same time, if to what we talked about a little earlier, if you're communicating or if you're paying attention sometimes, you can see. Like, they're physically tired. I mean, like, yeah, if I came in here and I fell asleep at 8 o'clock, I'm tired. Now, that don't happen a lot, right. But I'm tired. You know, right. I'm really tired. So
you know what's natural? It's natural for your wife to be like, she's going to get an attitude. She's going to get upset. It's just natural. It just happens. Natural. Guess what? And I want y'all to know a little bit. I want y'all to know a secret. If y'all have, even if y'all just have one child, just to let you know, that's your enemy. Okay?
Facts.
That's your enemy. that particular, if I had to use a basketball term, that person is J.R. Smith. When they hot, they hot. You know what I'm saying? Yep. They come home, they do their homework, their room is clean, they, you know, everything is good. But when they cold, oh, you know, they nagging, you know, they getting on your wife nerves.
They in the way.
Yeah, when she get mad, the whole house is upside down.
Upside down.
Yeah.
Period, point blank. And like you said, and it's you referenced, you know, the Cosbys earlier. Even in watching some of the older episodes, I realized, like, it was Claire and Cliff against the kids. Mm-hmm. And as we've gotten older, particularly as our kids have gotten older, It's the same dynamic in this house. Like,
it's a battle.
It's us against them. Like, and I'm like, hey man, look, we got to do this. We got to do it. We got to make sure we always talk about it, but like, we got to make sure we're on the same page. You know, some days I got to be the asshole. And if I'm the asshole, she got to be the one to kind of buffer them. You know, after I jab them a couple of times, she got to be the one to come pick them back up. You know what I'm saying?
See, and that we need to talk more about those tactics, because sometimes your partner can contradict what you're trying to do.
Yes.
And now y'all got to start all over and figure out the formula. You know what I'm saying? If you are there to be the enforcer and what you install actually works, but she might have felt like, because she's naturally a nurturer, you're going to check and be like, I'm going to yell at you, but I'm also going to give you a hug and say, are you hungry? And we're in the back like, did I just do all this work for nothing?
Right, right, right.
You know what I mean?
Man, I remember one time, this was maybe about a year or so ago, something happened, man, and I'm going off. I'm just fussing. And then we're in the room with the kids, and I'm fussing, and then I kind of look at her out of the corner of my eye, and she's just kind of like, and she's giving this look like, man, if you don't hurry up like that, like wrap it up. And then I had to pull it to the side later. Like, you know, we had a little conference. I'm like, look, bro, I need you, even if I'm rambling, I need you to still be open, because we need to be lockstep with these jokers. Yeah. We can't be no chinks in the armor. We got to, because see, if they see you looking like, oh man, I wish he'd just hurry up, then they're going to be like, oh, well, mom, like, why? He just need to hurry up, that type of thing. So, we do a really good job of staying on point with each other and staying locked in, because it is us against the kids, and we love our kids tremendously. I mean, that goes without saying, but we have the same values. We have the same goals as far as, like, you know, what we want from them and what we want from each other and what we want to, you know, instill in them, what we're constantly instilling in them as they grow. last thing it talks about is actively trying to nurture your physical attraction. Hmm. Now, you mentioned, you know, over a period of time, you know, the pancakes and the brownies, you know, might have put on a pound or two on you, might have put a pound or two on her. As you get older, you're going to get bigger. I know very few people who are the same size they were 30 years ago. And those that I do know that are smaller than they were 30 years ago, they're on crack. So, you know, chemistry just isn't about physical attraction. It's also about feeling comfortable with your body and your spouse's body. And couples should actively try to nurture both their physical and emotional connection. The physicalities, man, what do you guys do things physically? I mean, outside of the bedroom, as far as physically, you know, or kind of push each other, you know, walking, working out, that type of stuff.
It's always going to be an uphill battle. We're getting older. You know what I'm saying? Right. So, you know, the energy that we used to have is not there. The time that we used to have is not there. And the one thing that a lot of people don't talk about is the fact that everything is new for you. You know, next year is going to be something new for you.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? You will never be familiar with what happens in the future. Never. Because you don't know what's going to happen. And so there's no guideline to kind of like understand that, because it's something that you still have to maintain your health. But like I said, as you get older, you're still trying to adjust to, I don't move this fast. I can't, I'm at the age where I understand those OGs back in the day that we used to cross up and blow by because they didn't want to run full court in the first place. They was like, we want to run threes. Why? Mm-hmm. Because it's half court defense.
Half court. That's it. I mean? I ain't got to get up and down the court.
Hey, when they tell you, whenever an OG tell you I got a good, you know, run back and forth, like one or two times, and that's it, they're not lying. Now, metabolism is done. You know what I'm saying? And it's harder to reverse it. You know what I'm saying? Then it just makes sure you stay on top of it. I know, you know, cats like us and my wife, even though we're probably a little bit more sluggish these days, but we know in our mindset because we former athletes.
Mm-hmm.
So even if it's still difficult for us to get to the gym, our mindset is we need to get to the gym.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Because you can have those flashbacks of your body just been missing it. Your body is also going through changes, you know, but we constantly talk about, you know, dropping weight, eating certain things, not eating certain things that we use, you know, but hey, when I tell you heartburn is there, you know what I'm saying? It's certain sauces that I can't eat anymore. I just can't anymore.
Wow. You know? Hey, that's when you know. That's when you know. When you get to that point where you can't eat certain things or drink certain things.
You go to those restaurants and you... What you got in this?
Right.
You
know,
can you take this out?
Right. Man, listen, we went out for drinks and I got some Merlot, and I love Merlot. But I hadn't had Merlot. I hadn't had a drink since like the beginning of the year. So this is like maybe about 3 weeks ago. We went and got dinner and I had wine. And man, after I finished drinking that Merlot, like all of this right here, my sinuses stopped up. Like I was stopped up. Like it was, you know, pollen and every other allergy was bothered. And it wasn't, I just kept having to blow my nose. And I was like, man, I was like, it wasn't nothing I ate. And I was like, was it the Merlot? And I was like, well, you know what? The last time I had Merlot, it stopped me up too. And I'm like, now I'm thinking to myself, damn, do I have to cut out wine? You know, like you start cutting certain things out. And I was like, man, wine ain't bothering nobody. Why? It's not bothering me. Why I got to cut it out? And I'm not even much of a drinker like that. But, you know, it's just little, it's paying attention to little things like that. We try to stay active, man. I try to get to the gym. I'm not going to say I go every day. It's like, if there's 7 days in a week, I'm going to get five or four. Yeah. I'm gonna at least get four. You at least get four.
At this point, going to the gym is damn near like a lifestyle.
It is. It is. I mean, like, but you know what? For me, my body is so, is to the point where once I start doing it, like, it's automatic. So yeah. I go first thing in the morning before work, because trying to go at, and I've, you know, tried to convince myself, oh, I'll go after work. Man, even if you work from, like, I work from home, even after work, I don't feel like doing nothing. So, like, it's better for me to
relax.
Yeah, it's better for me to get up. I'm in there at 6 o'clock, or, well, 6 o'clock, sometimes seven, no later than seven. But I'm in there, get an hour and a half in, get on the bike, lift weights, whatever I got to do, whatever for that particular day. And, you know, I feel much better about the day because I've gotten that part out of the way. She does the same. She'll go running in the morning with her run group and stuff like that. And, you know, I mean, bro, I running in 30 degree weather in the morning, I ain't trying to do that.
That's a different type of dedication. Y'all can
yeah, that's a different type of dedication. Now, y'all ain't trying to do that. I mean, because it's enough for me to go step out in the 30 degree weather just to get in the car. To do that at 5 o'clock in the morning. Nah, bro, I ain't trying to do that.
Hey, no, you said something that's not talked about a lot. It's another one that's not talked about a lot. We're not going to talk about one. Once we get to a certain age, man, we start joining gang. Yeah, we start joining walking clubs.
Oh, yeah.
Golf clubs. You know what I'm saying?
Easily.
Hey, like, my friends are spread it out. You know, I got friends that stay in Vegas, you know, L.A., mm-hmm. certain places in L.A. Like, we all over the place. So we don't get to see each other that much as all. Not as much as we probably would like to see.
Mm-hmm.
So you tend to pick up, you know, marriage friends,
yep.
stuff like that.
Hands down.
You know, so, yeah, and that's different. Then you start to learn about, you know, people, you know, and mm-hmm. they come from different cities and states and stuff like that. And it's just me and Marcy, we always laugh because we always seem like we're the only ghetto LA people. You know what I'm saying? You get to see a certain side of Marcy when DJ Quick comes on.
Mm-hmm. Of course. Yeah. Of course. Yeah, man. It's interesting because, like you said, we grow, and then you get into these gangs, if you will, and these groups, and that stuff, it becomes a part of your lifestyle. You know, I know I have friends who are in, like, travel groups. Like, they'll go and they'll travel. Like, I ain't trying to travel with a whole bunch of people, but they are, you know, that's their bag. Like, they want to do travel, and they have a certain amount of friends that they travel with and stuff like that. I got a handful of friends I wouldn't mind traveling with, but I ain't about to travel with like 20, 30 people. That's way too deep for me. But like you said, we get to that point in life and in marriage, man, and it's a beautiful thing. In conclusion, man, before we get out of here, if you had to pass on one piece of advice or game, if you will, what would you say to somebody who's getting married this year and they want to be like Baylor and Marcy and make it last forever?
If you plan on being married, want to be in a marriage, just understand that this is going to be probably one of the hardest things you ever do in your life. One of the hardest things. And that comes with raising kids. If you plan on having kids. But for the most part, you have to strip away whatever you ever learned in your life, whoever you thought you was or whoever you think you need to be. And trust me, you're going to have to figure it out. You're going to have to figure it out now, because your marriage will get tested every goddamn day if you don't know what the hell you're doing. For certain people, our marriage could be on cruise control. But you got to get to that point. And if you don't know how to get to that point where you can set everything up to where you can be on cruise control, it's a certain level that you got to get to in the sky. It's a certain speed. It's a certain height that you got to get to before I could say, all right, let's put this on cruise control. Mm-hmm. And you're on cruise control for majority of the flight. And now we got to do some manual work because we got to bring it down. We got to know when the wheels is going to come out. You know what I'm saying? Et cetera, et cetera. We got to know when to descend. So it's work. It's work. I used to, I used to be the one to be like, bro, dog, this is not hard. I believe this is, and this is the easiest era. I think this is the easiest dating era of all time. Mm. Now, I ain't gonna say of all time. I ain't gonna say no. Because the attitudes and the way we viewed each other, I'm talking about as far as genders. Mm-hmm. I think it was different once it got out. Once we got out of the 70s, I think it started to change a little bit. You know what I mean? Because women and men just had so much more respect for each other back in the day. You know what I'm saying? I'm talking about after the era of the controlling husband, you know, controlling a household. Like, I'm talking about that point where, you know, you used to ask a girl to go steady. You know what I'm saying? It was a big thing. It was a big thing to be in a relationship in middle school or high school. And they knew you. Y'all was an item. The parents knew each other. Y'all knew y'all was, you know what I'm saying? So it was different back in the day. But this is hard work, bro. I'm not going to even lie. So if you give up or if you want to give up, I know why. I know what's up. It ain't for everybody. It ain't for, and when I say it ain't for everybody, I really mean that. Some of y'all probably don't need to be married. Some of y'all just need 10-day contracts.
Give them a 10 to get on.
yeah, because this is really hard work. You really, your ego means nothing, brother. Brother, what's that? you're not gonna be able to use that ego card. You know what I'm saying? Right. Because right. And as a man, I'm coming to you as a man. You still got to protect. You still got to provide. Yeah, they depend on you. You build the empire. But the empire is on top of you. You the foundation. Mm-hmm. You cut the head off, the host, man, everything gone.
Boy, you preaching. what advice I give? Just understand that it's almost like a game, you know, and I'll use the game of football. The game looks very easy from the stands. But the thing about the game is if you get a little closer, if you're on the 50-yard line and you're up 30 rows back, the game looks perfect. But if you come down, you know, to the 10th row, the game looks a little bit faster. It looks a little bit wilder. You can hear certain things on the field. Then you move to the sideline. The game is at light speed.
So, sub me in 12 Cal. I'm sorry. Once you start hearing them pads hitting,
oh yeah,
them pads and helmets hitting, it's real.
And then when you're on the field, that's when you know, like it looks totally different from whatever you thought as in the stands. So understand that, yeah, the game is different from what you see and actually being in the game. And the thing I always tell people, it's simple, but just take it day by day. That's all you can do. If you take 12, it day by day, you make plans and move forward. What's up?
12 Cal, what's the average time for a quarterback to be in the pocket?
You might have, 6 seconds maybe?
Okay, take half of that. That's how much time you have to have as a husband. You better get it together.
Yeah. Better get
it
together.
You got 3 seconds to get that rock off. You got 3 seconds to get out of that pocket.
Before you propose, make sure you have a plan. I'll say it again. Before you propose, make sure you have a plan.
You better hope that she really loves you and not what you can do for her.
Exactly. Because here's the thing. Your plan is going to have to change. And it's going to constantly change. And it's going to change sometimes based on circumstances. Sometimes it's going to change based on the circumstances that you've created. Sometimes it's going to change based on the circumstances of life. So be prepared to be, you know, in, like you said, 3 seconds. That's what
and
you
don't got. And don't ignore them flags before you get on your knee. Because you knew you knew she didn't know how to cook before you proposed to her. And you knew he was a flirt before he proposed to you. You bet. You stop playing. If y'all can't get past, that, that's not even preseason. That's an audition.
Yeah, that's an audition. That's the tryout.
Yeah, if y'all dealing with that stuff, don't even worry about it.
That
you're not even in the club.
For sure. But yeah, man, that's going to do it for us. Before we get out of here, Baylor, man, tell folks where they can find you, where they can find you in the podcast and everything like that.
At Baylorism on TikTok, at Baylorism on Twitter. That's where I do most of my damage. At Baylor the Great on IG. If you become my friend, I won't be posting my stories anyway. You know what I mean? The merch, you got to know me to know me. You know, you know what I'm saying? If you want some merch, man, I mean, holla at me. I might. I may not. You know, it's a fan.
No doubt. No doubt. You guys have been listening long enough. You know where to find me, 12 Kyle. The 12 Kyle podcast drops every Thursday at midnight. From time to time, we drop bonus episodes on Sundays at midnight. If you're on social media, you can follow me at 12 Kyle. You can follow the podcast at 12 Kyle Podcast on Twitter X, Instagram, Facebook, Threads, and TikTok. The podcast has its own TikTok page. We have our own YouTube page as well. There's video and audio of every podcast on YouTube as well. And if you feel so inclined, if you want to throw us a couple of dollars, hey, I'm not going to turn down no money. $ TWELVEKYLE. And if you go to the Linktree link, you can get yourself some 12 Kyle podcast merch. Merch is now available. Got t-shirts, got mugs, got posters, whatever you want. Hey, we will appreciate your support. So that's going to do it for us. So for my brother Baylor, brother, once again, thank you for coming through. I appreciate you.
Hey, 12 Kyle, at the time of this recording, Drake still hasn't responded to K-Dot. I just wanted to say that.
And he probably won't. So for my brother Baylor, I am your boy 12 Kyle. We'll catch you guys next time. 5,000.